So cooperative game theory is one big topic, and then we'll use two lectures to cover it. And then actually the slides here are adapted from a very well-known scientist. It is Elkind, who is also my collaborator, and she gave the lecture in Oxford. Okay. Now, they have a book, actually. And of course, it's not necessarily by the book, but if you want, you can also try to have one. There will be more knowledge points in the book compared to the slides. Now, of course, it's specifically mentioned that it's also available online, right? Okay, so as an introduction, what is cooperative game? Now, we first use some examples to explain the concept of cooperative game, and then we talk about two important concepts. One is called stability. So how would you consider some solution to be stable in a cooperative game? And the other one is fairness. So how do you consider the division of the money among the participants to be fair towards everyone? Okay? So the first one, stableness, there is a related concept called core, some further concepts called like the least core, etc. And then for fairness, there's a famous Shapley value, which we also mentioned in the last lecture, right? So we have a simple example explaining you what is Shapley value, right? Okay, now finally, we'll talk about the games with a non-transferable utility, which means that you cannot give money to other groups, right? So non-transferable, so other users, in this sense. Okay, now here, there's a very famous thing called hedonic games or Gale-Shapley algorithm for the matching problem. Now here, transfer money, what does it mean? Actually, even if you can transfer money among users, we also talk about some limitation about this transfer. For example, if you have groups, group 1, group 2, group 3, and then group 1 earns some money, and then this money can only be distributed among the group 1 members. Alright? So they cannot be given outside. And then hedonic game is more like something without money issue. For example, everyone has some preference about which group you would like to be in. Right? For example, you say, oh, I would like to be, the top preference is to be with my best friend. Okay? Second preference, alone. Alright? And then third preference is with somebody I do not know. So you can have specified an order of preference of the groups. And then hedonic game basically says, well, can you find some solution which well, everyone can be satisfied with? Because in this setting, there can be no money, right? You cannot say, oh, because I assign you to someone who you do not know, I give you extra money to compensate. Well, that you cannot do. Okay, you cannot give money to compensate certain player because it is not assigned to the ideal group. Okay, so now, for non-cooperative games, usually each agent will choose their own action, right? Okay. Now, the payoff in this setting will be given to that individual agent alone, right? So this is non-cooperative game. You give the benefit to individual player. But for cooperative games, then it's like agents, they form groups. And then every group can earn some money, right? Earn some profit. And then this profit will be, so the group will take an action, right? And then the profit will be given to the group. And then later on, the group can divide the money among the group members. Okay, so this is the difference between the non-cooperative game and cooperative game. All right, so we start with a very simple example called Happy Farmer. Now, in the Happy Farmer example, you have a group of farmers, so say 100 farmers. And then they can form smaller groups so that they do things together, right? What things do they do? They can grow some fruit, okay? They can either grow oranges or grow apples, let's say, okay? Now, suppose here, see, I let the left two farmers, grow apple, and then the right two grow oranges. Now, what's the benefit of growing fruits? Of course, you sell the fruit for money, right? Okay? So we suppose that if you have a group of size k, they can grow k square tons of orange. apples, right? K squared apples, okay? It's K squared apples. And then 3K oranges. So they can choose either one. Either they get K squared apples or they get 3K oranges, right? And then for orange and apple, they have price. What's the price? The price of apple is 200 pounds per ton, okay? And then the price for oranges are 300 pounds per ton, right? Okay, so in this case, you will consider then in what size the farmer's small group, and then what do they grow, right? So this is what you want to know. Okay, now actually, we make some assumptions. What's the assumption? The assumption is the actions of one group will not affect how much money the other group earn. Right? What does it mean? It means that if my group grow oranges, and the other group also grow oranges, then the money they can earn will not be affected by my decision. Okay? I grow orange, they also earn this much. I grow apple, they also earn this much. Okay, then that in other words means what? It means that the market price of those fruits are fixed. Alright? It will not be because many people grow fruit, grow oranges, and then oranges become cheaper. That will not happen. Although in reality it will happen, right? You have more oranges, of course oranges will be cheaper. But here we assume this will not happen. Okay? All the prices are fixed. Okay? Now the payoff of every group will be fully determined by its action, right? For example, if I grow orange, I know exactly how much I will earn, right? If I grow apple, I also know how much I will earn. Now, we are left with an easier problem. So, what easier problem? The easier problem is, although groups will have two possible actions, grow apple or grow orange, but now, if the group size is fixed, you no longer need to worry about what they grow. Why? Because for a group of size 3, for example, if they grow apple, remember it's a square, right? K square. So then they can generate 9 tons. And then apple is 200 pounds each. So it will be 1800 pounds. If they grow orange, because it's 3K, so 3 times 3 is also 9. And 9 times 300 is 2700, right? So you see that for a group of 3 people, it's definitely better to grow oranges, right? Because oranges give them more money, 2700, right? Okay, so then that means what? That means the first choice, I don't need to care about it, that will never happen in reality, right? As long as you have a group of size 3, they always grow oranges, and they can always earn 2700. Pounds, right? Okay, so now you can just throw away all the actions. There are no actions, right? No worry about actions. You just say, oh, you have a group of size 3, then you can earn so much money, right? The group size 2, you can earn that much money. So it's just a group size mapping to the money you can earn, right, by the group. Okay, so this is the whole thing, right? Story, whole story, you can just ignore it. Now it's replaced by what? By this. A group of size 1 will earn 900 pounds. A group of size 2 earn 1800 pounds. And a group of size 3, 27. And so on, right? So you see that at the very beginning, they always grow oranges. Is oranges, right? At the very beginning, they always grow oranges because oranges seems better, 3K, right? So at the beginning is good. But later on, apple will be better, right? Because it's K squared. It's a lot larger than 3K when K is large. And then it will compensate for the cheaper price of the apple. So basically you have such a table from 1 to 2 and then so on, and then you have price, you have the profit you can earn on the right hand side. Right? Okay. So now this is the first example about the farmer. Now, although probably will not go back to this example again, this is only try to tell you about what is a so-called cooperative game, right? Okay, so now let's look at a second example which will appear often in our future discussion. The second example is about the ice cream example, buying ice creams. Now, you know that our subject here
children.
Will be children, right? So the children, they want to buy some ice cream, right? Every child has some money. Now here, it says that the ice child has the money, the $5, right? And then there are three types of ice cream you can buy. The first type is $7, which give you 500 grams, right? Okay. The second type is $9, it give you 750 grams. And the third one is $11, which give you 1,000 grams, okay? So these are the three types of ice cream you can buy. Now, the children, they have utility about the ice cream. The more ice cream, the happier, right? But they do not care about something. They do not care about money, okay? For example, you tell a child, you have so much money, I can give you two ice creams and spend all your money, or I give you one ice cream, I will give back some money to you. The child says, oh, I don't care, okay? I just want to spend all my money. This is the money for today, okay? I need money to spend, so I will take two ice creams, right? Okay, so basically, in academic terms, it's called budget feasible, which means as long as the child, the money, you didn't overuse the money, then it's okay, alright? But how much money is left? It doesn't care. The child does not care. Okay, so in this case, you see that what is the payoff for each group of children? So if you just put the money this group of children have into a big pool, alright? For example, this child has $2, that one's $3, that one's $4, you should just put them together, become $9, and then see, $9, how much ice cream I can buy? Right? And then you buy the maximum amount of ice cream you can buy using $9 and then distribute the ice cream to the children in some way, right? Okay, so this is what people do, right? So the payoff of a group is just the maximum amount of ice cream these set of children in the whole can buy, right? Okay. Now, these are two examples. Now, of course, later on, when we talk about how to design stable solution, etc., we'll come back to the ice cream game again. But now, let's just try to formalize what is cooperative game and how it is played. Alright? Okay. Now, you see that in cooperative games, although we say it's cooperative, people work together, but every individual is still somehow selfish. Okay? You cannot expect they all work for the global benefit. Well, then it's not this way, okay? Everyone still wants itself to get sufficient share, right? Or enough money. Otherwise, they will still deviate from the current collaboration, right? Okay, so that's why when you partition the players into groups and divide the money, you need to guarantee something, okay? You need to guarantee that no player is willing to deviate from your petition. So remember, for example, you have 10 people, you say, oh, these three, one group, this four, one group, and these three, one group, right? So this kind of division will be stable only if nobody is willing to say, oh, I'm not satisfied with this, I'm going out with some other of my friends and alone, right? If they can do alone and they earn more, they will not care about your division, right? Okay, so that's why I would say we should guarantee no single player or group of players the incentive to deviate from the current structure of the collaboration. Alright? So your divisional structure and divisional money should make sure this will not happen. They will have no incentive to deviate. Okay? Well, so on the other hand, we say you also want to make sure that the outcome is fair. Alright, so remember this one is very similar to our concept called stable, right? Stimulus. Okay? Why? How to make the solution stable? And then how to make the solutions fair? Now you need to give the important contributor more money compared to other people. Right? For example, we say not a very good example. For example, we have a group project. Three students in one group, okay? And you finish one task, and say, okay, now I'm going to give grade to the group members, alright? And then I told you, okay, this whole project, its total worth is 19 points. Okay. Now I need to make sure the average grade of you three members should be 90. And now I need to say, do you think some of you deserve more or deserve less, etc.? Okay, so you need to divide the money, divide the total money among group members, so that they will feel their contribution is suitably rewarded, right? Okay, now this is about the fairness, but of course, in reality, group project usually the same mark, right, for all the members. Otherwise, you will fight with each other. Anyway, unless, right, you have some agreement among yourselves, I will do more, so please give me more credit later on, right, in the division of the points. Okay, so now let's see how to formalize these ideas. Alright, now today our major focus is to discuss about this stable issue, the stable issue, whether people will not have incentive to deviate from certain structure. Alright, fairness will be the next lecture. Okay, so now let's define what is a cooperative game. Well, we have two variables, one is N, the other is B. What is N? N is the set of players. Alright? For example, you have 100 players, then N just consists of these 100 players. What is B? B is the value, or the money I can generate by grouping somebody together. Alright? Okay, so N is players, B is the value. And we also call it characteristic function. Okay? Yeah. Characteristic function means you take an arbitrary subset of players, I tell you what value they can generate. Okay? You give me a set, three people, I tell you, okay, these three people, they can generate $1,000. Okay? That's it. No matter which subset you give me, I tell you this value. So that's the value function or characteristic function. Okay. Now, for each subset of players, we already said, right? So this is the amount of money, right? You see the amount of money that the members in C can earn by working together, right? Now, we assume B satisfies some good property. What's the property? First of all, if nobody in the set, right, it could be no one, then what's the B? B is nothing, right? It could be nobody, I can do nothing. So, empty set, the B should be zero, right? But there is a second requirement, which is also very natural. It says, if I give you a subset, okay, a subset, now you have somebody, right? And then the value you can generate will never be negative, okay? It's always either zero or positive, right? So this is a most of the time okay assumption. But sometimes many people argue with me, oh, that's not true. Sometimes if you put some people together, if they're enemies, right? They will only destroy something, they will not produce something, right? If they have a bad relationship, they will fight each other and then probably by accident broke some table or something, right? So they will cause some negative value. But here we are not dealing with this kind of issue. We are saying, these people, right, as long as they work together, they will always generate non-negative utility or value, right? Now the final thing is also very natural, and also we need that assumption that these people, they are not enemies. So what does it mean? So this one says, if you put in one more people, one more person, or more people into my group, then you will only generate more value, or the same value as before. So it's called a monotone property, right? More people, more profit, okay? So we are dealing with an ideal world, right? There are no enemies among the group members. Okay. Well, so now we define a so-called coalition to be a subset of the grand player set. Okay. So coalition is any subset of N, and N itself, this one, okay, the big N, is all the people together. We call it grand coalition. Okay, which means the biggest coalition, right? Everyone together. Okay, so now we come back to Maastricht game to see how to formalize those concepts we just have. Now suppose we have three people, three children, $6, $4, and $3. And then Maastricht, we already know, right? $7, $9, and $11, and the related And then we know that the value of empty set, or value of C, or value of M, value of P, all of them are zero because they can buy nothing, right? Okay? Only $7 can buy ice cream. So not a single child has enough money to buy ice cream. So they have to collaborate, right? But when they collaborate, C and M together, $10, they can buy this, right? So they have 750 grams, right? And then if it is C and B, $9, also they can buy this, 750. And if it's M and P, they can buy $7 here, 500 grams, right? And then if all the children pool their money together, what do they have? They have $13, right? $30. And they can buy the 11, right? 11 is the best they can buy. So they get 1,000 grams, right? Okay, so this is how you define the value function, right? The characteristic function. Okay, now I believe that up to now, everything looks very easy. It's even easier than your undergrad courses, right? I'm very sure. Okay, so now let's look at how to define the so-called outcome of this game. Alright? Now, we're talking about this transferable utility game. So the transferable utility game means you can give the money generated by one group to its group members, right? You can transfer the money to group members. Alright? Now, so what is outcome here? Outcome of the game is also a pair. Now this pair is called CS and X. Okay, now of course, CS here does not mean computer science. That's not possible. Okay, what does it mean? There are some abbreviations, very, very interesting. Okay, now CS, of course, most familiar one is computer science. And then sometimes you also hear about data science, right? But before you talk about data science, if you talk about subjects, okay, there are some abbreviations which says DS. So what subjects can you recall if I tell you DS? It's a side question, okay? Unrelated to the game theory course. Now, because for many years, I have been teaching many DS courses, okay? So what is DS?
Data structures.
Oh, very good, data structures. Anything else?
Data
science. Data science, okay, anything else? There are data, data base systems, very good. Okay, database systems, right? And there's also another course called distributed systems. So basically, I taught everything. Other than data science, okay? I don't teach data science, but I teach memory, data structure, database, and the distributed computing, distributed systems, etc. Okay, but anyway, let's come back to this CS. This CS, the full name is coalition structure, because we defined coalition earlier, right? A group of people, right? So coalition structure here means that you divide N into C1 group, C2 group, C3 group, and so on, right? Divide all the people into groups. Okay, so this is the first one, CS. How you divide the groups, right? So this is the first thing. And what is X? Now, of course, this division needs to satisfy the property that they are disjoint, right? You cannot assign one person into two divisions, right? It's not okay, right? Everyone only belongs to one group. Now, what is X? X is called payoff vector. What is payoff vector? It means how much money each individual, each player receives from this game, right? So X1 means the money player 1 receives, right? Xn means the money player n receives, right? Okay. Now, you need to guarantee this money every individual player receives cannot be negative. That means you cannot take money from player, right? You can only give money to them. You cannot take money from them. Okay, this is the first thing. Second thing, the money you give to players should come from the group it belongs to. Alright? For example, these three people, they work together, generate $100. You say, okay, I'll give this person 50, this person 30, this person 20. Oh, that's okay, right? Because you divide $100. But then it's okay that I can take one of the 50 and by borrowing some money from other groups. This is not allowed. All right? Okay. So, So this is the requirement. Okay? You need to guarantee that the for each coalition, right? For each coalition C, the summation of Xi is equal to the value this coalition can generate. Okay? The money goes inside the group. Does not go outside. Alright? Okay. But still, I think that this is very easy to understand. Right? Now let me know if you feel some confusion or difficulty. Okay, you can raise your hand. Alright. So now let's give you one example. In this example, we have a 1, 2, 3, one coalition, right? And then 4, 5, the other coalition. I tell you the value of 1, 2, 3 is 9. The value of 4, 5 is 4. Okay. Now I'm going to divide the money into them, right? So I say, okay, now my coalition is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's two groups. I give money $3, $3, $3 to 1, 2, 3. And then $3 to 4, $1 to 5. This one is an outcome because you only give the green players the money they get, right, by working together. Now this one is good. But this one is not good. Why? Yeah, so you see, these green people, they got $6, right? 3-3. But they only generate 4. They are borrowing money. I said, you cannot borrow money, right? Okay? Yeah. Okay, so this is not an outcome. Alright, and then the next one is another terminology, but usually we call it this one, individual rationality. Okay, so we say an outcome is an imputation. It's a very complicated word. I also do not know the meaning before I prepare the slides. Even now, I do not know how to translate it in Chinese. But okay, because the more important keyword is here, individual rationality. What does it mean? It means that the money you get, right, player I get, will not be less than if player I works alone. Alright? So basically it says you should give incentive to each individual to join your game. Because if you give player I less than the I, then player I will not join your game. Player I will just do the work by himself. Right? Because doing the work by himself can give him more money. Well, then why does he join your game? Right? Well, never. So that's the so-called individual rationality. And later on, in other subjects like auction, etc., you should also guarantee individual rationality in order to persuade or incentivize the agents or players to join the game, right? Okay, so this is a very important property in any game. Okay, and then for the summation of value on the money you get within the coalition C, we use XC to represent it. So XC basically is a summation of all the XI for player I in the coalition C. Okay. Well, so now, again, let's look at the ice cream game, right? So in the ice cream game, what is the outcome? $6, $4, and $3, and these three types of ice creams, right? And then we know that if you ask the children to buy ice cream by themselves, individually, then nobody can get anything, right? Okay? So the 0, 0, 0. So this is one possible outcome. Right? This is one possible outcome. You can also say, oh, please, M and P, you two, buy ice cream together. And then C, you buy the one, right? And then C can get nothing, right? And M and P, because they can buy 500 grams of ice cream, they can divide the money, oh, sorry, not money, divide ice cream among between these two children, right? So 100 grams and 400 grams. Now, how to divide it? I don't care for the moment. We are just looking at possible outcome for this ice cream game, right? Okay, now if you say, oh, all three children, please buy the ice cream together, and you know they can buy this, right? Buy 1,000. And then this line tells you, okay, I can divide the 1,000 grams into three sets. We which is roughly the same, right? 334, 333, right? Okay, well, this is also one possible path, right? Okay. Now, this one is also one outcome. You say, okay, I give C0, that's it. And then M800, P200. But this one, everyone will agree that it's extremely unfair because C has the most amount of money. He's done nothing, right? What will the person think? Okay. But then, the bad guy also has an argument. He says, okay, this one is okay. Why? Because he tells C, if you are not satisfied, you leave. Then, after C leaves, C can't get nothing, right? So, not better. Well, but it's the viewpoint of the bad guy, right? Of course, we are not bad. We are not having this kind of solution. Okay. Well, so much about the easy stuff. Now we are going to some easy to medium level materials. So we are defining some other games. Alright? For example, the first one we define is super additive games. So what is super additive game? The concept is very easy. It tells you super additive means you merge two groups together. They can generate more money compared to working by themselves. Okay, what does it mean? Well, group one can generate $100. Group two can generate $100. If I put group one and group two together, I can generate $300. Oh, this is good, right? That's why it's called super. Super additive. It means not only you add the benefit of two groups together, there may be some extra gain, right? Okay? The bigger the group, it could be better, right? Okay, so this is the official definition. It's very easy, right? Now, of course, this definition works for the disjoint coalition C and D. Okay, because when you merge two groups, if you have common member, then I do not guarantee anything. Okay, if you don't have common member, you merge, I promise you, you get strictly more than you simply add them together, right? Okay, so one example here, if your value C is the size of the group, easy because V of C union D is equal to the size of C plus the size of D, okay? And this is equal to BC plus BD. So it's equal. Equal is fine, right? Because super additive says I allow equal to show up, right? I allow equal. Now, next one is really super additive. Real one. It's a real one. This one says if my value is the size of C squared. And then, what is the value of C union D? C union D becomes size of C plus size of D squared. And then I take two squares out. And there's another term there, right? 2CD. But 2CD is positive or zero, right? Anyway, it's not negative. So I can remove it. Say, okay, this is larger than equal to this, right? But this is BC plus BD, right? By definition. Definition is square. So it's BC plus BD. Therefore, you know, BC union D is larger than or equal to BC plus BD. So again, it is a super additive game, right? Okay. Now, question. Actually, not question. Ice cream game. Is it super additive? It's not quite a question. It's just a fact, right? It should be super additive. Why?
You see, because for each one, the base is zero.
Oh, yeah. If that specific example is zero, right? But sometimes it may not be zero. For example, the first trial is $10. Second is also $10, right? And then each of them can buy something. But if you put the money together, you can also buy something. But is it true that if you put them together, they can buy even more compared to the individual buyer? Usually when you see this kind of question, you need to follow some logic, right? For example, say, I have two groups of children, okay? Group one has so much money, group two has so much money, okay? And then say, this much money you can buy ice cream here. So pretend that you see some ice cream here, right? And then you see some ice cream here. this is what they can buy, right? Now if you put the money together, can they still buy this much? Yes, right? Because I can split and buy and then merge, right? Okay, so the earlier solution is still a solution for your merged group, right? Is that right? So your earlier separate buying solution is still a solution when you put the money together. That's true, right? So definitely you will not buy less. You can only buy more. But sometimes, can you really buy more? So after this, yes, right? Because for example, this one, after buying this group of this ice cream, you have $3 left, right? And this one, after buying this ice cream, you have $4 left. And then you put this 3 and 4 together, this $7 can buy another ice cream, right? Okay? So sometimes you can buy some extra ice cream compared to your earlier individual buying solution, right? Okay, so you see, ice cream game, it's a super additive game. Nice. Okay, so you see that again, right? So you will see ice cream game for at least 5 times. So be familiar with the setting, okay? Now, because in super additive game, you can always merge two groups, right? Merging two groups never hurts you, because they generate more money compared to adding two groups' money together, right? So then that means what? That means usually in super additive game, you are very safe to adopt grand coalition. Right? Because grand coalition can give you the most amount of money. So you have a very safe way to give money to people so that they are happy. Right? If splitting makes them happy, then merging make them also happy because they will not get less. Right? Okay. Well, so this is super additive game. Now it's time to introduce the third game called the induced subgraph game. So what's this? Well, in this game, players are vertices in a graph. Okay? And then, now this graph is weighted. The weights are on the edges. Alright? Now what's the value of a coalition? If you group some people together, what's their value? The value is the summation of weights of their internal edges. What does it mean? Well, for example, T, this is one coalition, right? So inside T, there are three players, right? One, two, three. And what's the internal edges? This one is internal edge. This one is internal edge, right? Because internal edge just means the two endpoints are both in my group, right? Okay, so you see that you have x plus y, right? So vt is x plus y, and vs, the s is bigger, right? S is this. So vs is the summation of these four edges, right? Okay? Well, so in this kind of game, they can model social network. So very useful. Now the question is, how the induced subgraph game super additive? Merge two things together, they will not become, the value will not become less, the value will become more, right? So is this one super additive? No, why not? Which one? You put these two together? You merge this one with this one, but this one has no value, this one also has no value if you only have one node. Right? So for those who think, no, tell me the reason. Why not super additive? And then there's also a follow-up question. In order to make it super additive, what do you need to do? What assumption do you need to add?
Every time you add a point to your collision, it needs to connect to your point at home.
I'm answering my first question or second question? Second. We first need to figure out the first question, okay? First question, is this super additive? Can be equal, yes, it can be equal. Is this super additive? You say yes. Usually proving yes is more difficult. Okay.
Whether it can add weight.
So there is a weight. For every edge, there is a weight, right? Oh, when you merge, when you have more edges, right? Yes, sometimes yes, right? Because you have two groups, right? If I merge two groups, then every edge connecting this group to that group, they become internal edges, right? Then their value, their weight will be added into your value, right? Okay? What is positive? Oh, okay, so you put a very good point, okay? So this is one bonus point. Okay? If you ask, is the weight positive? I never tell you anything about that. Weight can be positive, can be zero, can be negative. So now, if it can be a positive, zero, negative, then is this gain super additive?
No.
No, right? Because especially when it is negative, right? If it's negative, you have more edges, it does not mean you have more, right? You decrease the value, that's not good. Okay? So, when you have negative edge, it's not super additive. But on the other hand, now we come to the second question, right? On the other hand, if you want to make it super additive, you need to add an assumption. What's that assumption? There are no negative edges, right? No negative weight edges. Then it is really super additive. Okay? Yeah. Now clear? Good. Okay. Now, for super additive gains, usually we can identify the outcomes with payoff vector for the grand coefficient. This will be already said, right? Because super additive gain, merging everything together is best, right? So you can assume we are doing grand coefficient, right, in super additive gains. So now the outcome is a vector x, where x1 plus x2 plus until xn is equal to value of the grand coalition, right? And then an interesting thing is, for non-super additive gain, you can transform it into a super additive gain in some way. Okay. What can you do here? For example, you say, these two groups, right? When you merge these two groups, I found that the value decreases, right? Less than the summation of these two values. That's not good. Then you should have some way to define the value of the big group. You cannot define it as a summation of these two, right? Or you cannot define it as summation of these two plus something in between, right? You cannot do this, because this will not be good. Okay? So now how do you define the value of a certain coefficient? Usually you say, oh, the coefficient, if I split in this way, it's larger than sum. That's very good, right? But how about if you split, it's less than? Then how do you define the value of a big group? Now, one hint is the following. You say, suppose I have five people in the group, okay? So I can divide the five people into two subsets in a many different way, right? One specific person over here, and then this way, right? Another one here, and four here. Anyway, I have many combinations of 1, 4, 1, 4, right? And then I have many combinations of 2, 3, 2, 3, right? Okay? This is what I can do, right? 3, 2. Anyway, I can divide. Now, among all the division, you can check which kind of division will generate the most profit or most money. I just define the value of the big group to be that best partition. Okay? So you see, this is the definition I will use. So we define the value of coalition C, special value, okay, as the maximum of all the partition of your just says, okay, try to divide your members in the best way, such that their value, right, add up to the maximum possible value, alright? Okay, I use this maximum possible value to define the value of my big group. Okay, so by this definition, you see, it is always superlative. Why? Because I already enumerated, right, all the possible divisions. So no matter which two subsets you give me, their value added together will not be better than mine, right? Because I already considered that option. Okay, so my new value must be dominating all the other partitioned value, right? Okay, so this way you can guarantee, based on this new definition of value, right, this one is a superadditive game. And we call this GSA, okay, the new value, right, the superadditive cover of G. Elevate the value of different groups such that it becomes superadditive, right? And then this new valuation function, the new value-based gain, is a superadditive cover of the gain G. Alright? Now, of course, this is only a concept. Probably we'll never use it at this line, right? But you can know that we have some way to transform the gain into a superadditive gain, where the value of each group becomes higher, right? You take the best of it, all the conditions below it. Alright? Okay. Well, so now, everything okay? Up now. Yeah, then I will use the remaining 2 minutes to explain the weighted voting game, and then we will go on to analyze this the property. So what is weighted voting game? Actually, a weighted voting game is a very interesting concept. It says, now there are n parties in the council, in some committee, okay? And then every party has a certain number of representatives. So party I has a number of I representatives, okay? And then, what is a coalition? Coalition is formed by some parties, right? Some members. So the party you can just consider as some kind of people, okay? As a person. Alright, so now, coalition party, they can get enough support if their total size is at least Q. Okay? So what does it mean? You see here. Usually, for example, when you are deciding where you go camping in the weekend, alright? There are many different locations, right? Different locations of camping. And they say, okay, we form study groups. You have some normal study groups, okay? You have a group, this group has 4 people, this group has 5 people. And every group, their target location is the same, okay? And then you will discuss among yourself. You say, okay, where do we go? Let's choose, okay? Now suppose there's one famous person, maybe the Songshan Lake, around the Songshan Lake, okay? But that's a good place. Then you say, okay, who will be supporting that location? Raise your hand, okay? Now, if you have a majority of people raising hand, and then you win, right? Oh, okay, that's the destination, alright? Maybe next time you will listen to the other group's opinion, alright? But this time, majority wins. Okay? So this is a strict majority, so usually it will be a strict majority. Now, the weight of a coalition, actually we define it as the weight sum of all the WI, right, in the coalition. And then this setting can be described by a game. And in this game, you have a set of players n, and a value function b. And then here, the value function of a coalition is 1 if the w, the weight, is at least 2, which means your total weight, your total number of supports, right, exceeds the threshold or the quota, which we call Q. We call Q the quota. Okay? If the total weight exceeds the quota, then value is 1. Otherwise, the value is 0. Okay? Well, then the notation of the game just looks like it's a quota followed by many weights from different parties, right? Okay? Well, so game, and then the next hour we'll talk about how to analyze.